Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. What if I were to tell you, you don't have to accept that life is precarious or that dangers might be lurking behind every corner? Though preparing for the worst is sometimes presented as everyday wisdom, Christian Science reveals a deeper truth, that life isn't risky business, and you can experience that deep sense of security and understanding that you are constantly protected and live completely free of false fears. Our guest today is Suzanne Riedel, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from the Austin area in Central Texas. Suzanne, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
I think some listeners who are less familiar with Christian Science or who struggle with the occasional sense of fear, as many of us do, might be tempted to say, well, come on, isn't it a bit naive to go through life without being prepared for the everyday dangers that might pop up? I mean, a fear or the anticipation of something going wrong, that's just something all adults have to deal with in one way or another, no?
Well, at some level, yes, and at a much higher level, no. And I think it is probably naive to think that things won't happen to us. They do. But there is a higher way to find that security and peace from a divine intelligence that's with us all the time, so that we have immediate recourse to that. And I think that our lives are tested often by the world's sense of things, that, you know, bad things just do happen. But when you really recognize those arguments, those pictures of bad things happening can be dealt with and can be dealt with very quickly and always effectively, then it just brings a sense of spiritual poise and peace that doesn't get ruffled and it doesn't depend on fear.
Well, then let's drill down just a bit, because I think a lot of people may wonder, how do you do that? I mean, where do you begin? And perhaps you've had an experience of dealing with something like this that you can share by way of example.
I have. I did very early in my practice of Christian Science have an experience that really set me on a course of understanding better how fear tries to talk and the power that we have to turn to that can put it down as not something or having a cause, even though it seems to. Quite a few years ago, our children were young. We only had two at the time, and we had come back to a motel, actually, in a major city after, I think it was our second association, Christian Science Association, which is an annual meeting once you've had class instruction to reinvigorate your understanding of God and how to practice this science. Well, we were new in it, didn't have much money. We'd really put ourselves out on a limb to go I think it was 1,200 miles to get there. Mm-hmm. And it was that night after that wonderful day, very inspiring day. And some friends had invited us out for supper. We got back late. We had these two little kids and they were very tired. And especially the little girl was 2.5. We got back to the hotel. It was late September, should have been chilly in the northern part of the United States. And it was very hot, not something you could stay in that night. So my husband decided to take the little boy, who was one, down to the offices to try to, you know, get some help. Mm-hmm. And I stayed back with the 2.5-year-old who was very upset and crying. We left the door open just to try to get some air in. It was that hot. He wasn't gone 2 minutes when a hand came on the door. I could see it because there were lights in the parking lot outside. It was immediately frightening, but I very authoritatively said, this room is occupied. But they came on in and they wanted money. They were very threatening. They had professional sawed-off shotguns. They were extremely forceful and dominant and very aggressive with their language, and they threatened my life and my child's life repeatedly. I helped them understand that my husband had the money. I didn't have anything, and I didn't. And so they decided to wait for him, and one behind, you know, the door to the hallway and one to the other door. And they were literally toying with me, saying, do this and do that. And if we don't, I'll shoot your child.
That's terrible.
And so it was very terrifying. Mm-hmm. And throughout this whole thing, I was trying the best I understood at the time to know God was there. I kept saying it in my thought, God is here, God is here. But I couldn't feel it. All I could feel was that terror. And I finally, at one point, my little girl, she'd quieted down. She was certainly wondering what was going on. But she started whispering to me, Mommy, why are they here? Mm-hmm. And this was probably 15 minutes into this. And by that time, what fell out of my mouth to her whispering was, they must be supposed to be here because everyone's always in their right place. Hmm. And I was shocked by those words. Those weren't my words. And I reasoned that through. And she kept asking and kept asking, why are they here? Why are they here? And I kept saying the same thing. But each time I would say it, I was getting clearer. Yeah, they are not my words. They are God's words. And if they're God's words, they have to be true. And if they're God's words, then he is here. And it was just that, you know, steady, calming reasoning. And probably 6 or 7 times she asked, so that I was getting it clearer and clearer in my thinking. I was really reaching out to God and calming thought to be able to hear that truth that God was present. Well, then one of the men who had been, you know, saying, you've got to do this and you've got to do that or I will kill you, had told us to turn off the lights. And my daughter reached up and turned on the light. And the man raised the gun at her. I thought he was going to shoot her. He was enraged. And I jerked her to me and jerked the light off the wall, literally, and reached out to God with all my heart. And what I heard was a no that was so loud to me. It was so, you know, just a demand on my thought. And I knew that the no was to fear. And it was at that point when I don't think that it was people anymore to me. It was fear was the problem. Fear was the criminal in the room. Hmm. And I absolutely accepted that. I just said no mentally. And immediately the fear, it didn't drain away. It was just gone. Hmm. There was no more fear at all. The situation hadn't changed. The men were still behaving as they had, but I had absolutely no fear anymore, and I knew we were going to be okay. And after a while, my husband did come back. He had been gone so long because there was a big convention going on, which we hadn't known about, and there was a lot of people, and they couldn't help him, and somebody brought in a bunch of puppies or kittens or something, and our little one was playing with them, and he was just trying to get help, and I believe that God kept him in his right place because I don't think it would have been a good situation had he come back too soon. Well, by this time, the light's on, the door's open, and my husband's walking in the door looking at me, say, what are you doing? And I said, we have guests. That wasn't premeditated. It was literally what came out of my mouth. Hmm. And he looked around and saw them. The man by his door where he had come in put the gun in his face and asked, you know, wanted his money. And my husband started trying to reason with him. Of course, that didn't go very far. But in the middle of all of this, the peace that was there was absolutely fearless, absolutely calm. And in maybe a minute or two after this interchange with the one man, the man that had been behind the door walked over to me, and his face was completely changed. He looked like the nicest man you'd ever want to meet. Hmm. And he said in a very low voice to me, lady, who are you? And I knew he'd been touched. I knew he'd felt something too. It wasn't just me that had felt God's presence there. He had too. We didn't have any money. I think there were $15 and some, you know, bank checks that fell out of the on the floor of overdraft notices. They probably were thinking they'd really got in the wrong room. The man with the gun, you know, told the other he was going to go get the car, shoot us if we did anything, and he'd come around and get him and da-da-da, you know. So he was making his escape plan. we're now left with this man who's totally changed. And he's standing there looking at us, holding these guns with the money in his hand. And he threw the money back on the bed and he said, "For your kid's milk," and ran out the door.
Wow.
It had been an extreme experience for sure. But the lesson that I brought from it, that I have been able to build on over, you know, many years now of practicing Christian Science in the face of all kinds of things that would try to say you don't have the spiritual poise, you're turning to God for it. And what I learned was that to know the presence of God, and that's what kept coming, God is here, God is here. To really know the presence of God, it isn't something that you bring to pass. You don't cause it to happen. God's always present with you. And it's simply stopping believing that there is a cause for fear that won't be ruled out by recognizing the presence of an infinite power, a love, a divine intelligence that is actually in control of everyone, because God is good. It obviously, over the years and raising five children, that sense of fearlessness had to build, but it did. And the more I saw the fear, that it wasn't a circumstance that caused it, and it wasn't a person that causes it. It's actually an argument, and it can be stopped with recognizing the presence of God right there with you all the time.
What an incredible experience. What a powerful demonstration of the presence of God. I have a lot of questions, and I know listeners would have a lot of questions, and some might say, okay, well, it certainly sounds to me like you saw the importance of knowing that there was no need for fear. You kept saying in the explanation that you were reaching for these calming thoughts and to know the presence of God, and sort of felt like you were reaching to know that presence even though you weren't feeling it. And I want to know where that idea comes from, that in the middle of someone holding a gun at your face, that your response is to reach out to God. Why? What gave you the inspiration that this was the right course of action?
When I found Christian Science, I had searched for years for truth. I wanted to know what was true, and I wanted to know God directly. I wanted to know that when I said God was present, that meant that I, as well as anybody else, could feel that communication, could hear it, and with it had to come the power and action of good, because God is good. The Bible's filled with citations that say God is good. Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, her textbook that explains the practice and the theology of Christian Science, posits it very clearly. And to me, it was always, when I first read it, saying, you know, this is where we start, and we have to agree on this in order to be able to reason clearly that God's with you. Number one, God is infinite, all. God is spirit, and spirit is good. And you put those ideas together, and you have a presence that is causing you and blessing you. And it became clear to me that any good that ever happens has to have a cause. And I see that cause as God. And certainly Christian Science teaches that truth, that God, the infinite mind, the divine intelligence that created the universe and every single necessary, irreplaceable idea, you and me, that God is good, but also all present, omnipresent. There's a wonderful Bible passage in Jeremiah that says, God speaking, say, "Do not I fill heaven and earth?" And I'd love to go to that. It's much more than a comfort. It's a declaration of the reality that you cannot be outside an infinite mind that is always present, forever good. So is it necessary for you to keep reminding yourself and praying and reaching out to God? Yes, it is. The world says things are very different, that we are subject to threats of all sorts from every angle. And
that bad things just happen.
And they just happen, yeah. And that they happen, you know, financially, relationships, physically, or they just can happen. And I've seen over and over again that even when they happen, there's a way to recognize God didn't cause it. And there has to be a good resolution. There's also a wonderful passage that I've always loved. I'm sure many other people have too. It's in Romans 8, where the statement by Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, is that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, loving God is knowing God. You don't love what you don't know. How can you? I mean, you don't trust what you don't really understand, at least in part.
So it's really about knowing God. That's the goal.
It is. It is. And the more you pray and the more you recognize this God that made you is communicating with you, why else would we pray if we don't believe that? We say that prayer is our communion with God. Well, you don't commune with someone who's not in the room or not with you, you know, or can't hear you. We're learning that divine presence is, to me, it's just everything. And once you pray in that way and begin to see the proof of it in experience after experience, mm-hmm. then you can really build on it. Fear isn't caused by circumstances, nor is it caused by people. It's caused by the extreme argument that God is not present in control, not loving you, not there, not helping you. And that is just not true. And the more you build in your thought that reliance on God, the more you see it, the more you see it proven in your experience.
You said some things there that I think are important to sort of point out. One of them, you mentioned Mary Baker Eddy, who was the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And you mentioned that book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which is not just something that came out of her imagination. She had had powerful healings herself and prayed, worked hard for the inspiration, all Bible-based, that provided that inspiration and was working hard to know God, to define God. And many times we turn to those passages in Science and Health as students of Christian Science as we work to know God better and in that way find that sort of love and reassurance of God's presence that you were describing. Clearly, these events have given you a powerful sense that you can trust that God is there and you are protected.
Yeah, and I thank you for outlining Mary Baker Eddy's, you know, writing of Science and Health and what's there. I've had a good number of experiences over many years of sharing that book with people. Mm-hmm. And often I will just take them directly to the definition in the glossary of Science and Health that defines God. And to me, it's every one of those words that are described there of life, of truth, of love, of principle, of omnipresence, all substance, every one of them are saying, this is what is present with you right now. This is the nature of the good that is intelligently with you right now. This other experience, I think our youngest son at the time was 4. We lived in a Texas Hill Country town, and my in-laws lived out on a ranch in the hill country, and they were going to be gone for a month or two and wanted us to be watering their yard in the summer. And my husband and two of the boys, the two younger boys, loved to hunt arrowheads, and they found lots of them there. My husband had quite a collection from several different states of arrowheads and spearheads and that sort of thing. So he was kind of an avid, aficionado, if you will. And so they wanted to go hunting, and I didn't care anything about it. So I said, you all go do that. I will water the yard, water the flowers and everything. They were gone, I don't know, 10 minutes when this extraordinary fear overwhelmed me. What if one of your children were bitten by a rattlesnake? Now, it's rattlesnake country. Almost every member of our family over time had experiences meeting up with rattlesnakes there. So everybody knew that. They were also going to be in places where they knew they were. So they needed to be alert. And the fear just was very overwhelming, which is not like me normally. And I tried to, dismiss it like that's silly. They know what they're doing and all this. Nothing would make it go away. And after a while, it kept escalating to the point where my heart was racing. I mean, literally, I was feeling that much fear. And I realized you need to reach out to God. You've got to pray this through. And so I began to pray. And the very first thing that I started with was what seems to always come to me first. God is here. God is present. Mm-hmm. The living power that causes every identity is present. Number two, he loves those children. He's never going to leave them. He loves them. So I prayed with those thoughts. I understood them, but the fear didn't stop. I mean, maybe for 10 minutes, I was really trying to get a grip on this, and it just didn't stop. Mm-hmm. And finally, I can remember just praying, Father, what do I need to see here? What is this claim of a hidden fear of, something that could threaten without warning and, happen? And immediately the thought came, God never made a poison. And I thought, exactly, he didn't. And immediately the fear was gone. There was no more fear. It was as if, okay, that's the thought that I was believing in, that there were venomous, animals out there and they were threats to my children. And that statement that God never made a poison literally wiped out the fear. It no longer had a circumstance, a presence, an individuality.
And it didn't have a hold on you either.
Exactly, exactly. And I was fine. I went ahead and watered the flowers. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, I hear yelling of the kids running across the pasture. They had been on a deer trail under a lot of trees where my husband, who was tall, and my older son, who was tall, had to lean over to walk through on this deer trail. But the four-year-old didn't have to do that. And he was in front, and he had stepped over a 5.5-foot rattlesnake. And it was coiled. And later, my husband said, I don't know how he ever stepped over it. It was so big. But he did, and the thing didn't strike. And they clearly, fear had tried to say that there was something that was dangerous and a threat. Mm-hmm. Did it need to be challenged? It did. That's how I see it. It did need to be challenged. But God was right there to help me see consciously his presence overruled any sense of a threat from it. So some people have said to me before when I've told them that story, well, then fear was a good thing because it got you working. Mm-hmm. Fear's never a good thing. Fear is what I had to handle. I had to overrule in my thought.
You had
with
to overcome
the presence,
it.
Exactly, with the presence of God. So all of us have opportunities, and they are opportunities to see God is never causing something that's going to harm. He's infinite good. And we really can see that the things that we think are causes, mm-hmm. whether they're circumstances, people, animals, robbers, whatever, financial ruin, whatever we see as something that could threaten us and cause us damage is actually a picture of you know, our lives and creation, if you will, that God is not in control of, but he is in control of it. And to shift thought to that, you rule out the possibility of something threatening in God's creation.
Mm. I love that story. And I love how you ended it with God's creation, because something that I'm picking up on is not so much that you're turning to God to change what seems to be a human situation, to somehow disarm the robber or somehow make the snake go away or something like this. That in a way, what you are doing is you're turning to God for a greater sense of who you are. What the teachings of Christian Science, at least in my own experience, have given me better insight on is that healing is not about changing the physical situation. It's about getting a more concrete sense of the truth about who you are and your relationship as a spiritual being to God, all spirit.
Yes.
And that includes you. That includes you. And that's a monumental thing to capture as an idea, you know, to see yourself as a spiritual being. And it's in the course of seeing yourself as a spiritual being that that force, that I almost said force field, but it's not like that. It's the power, the presence of God is there, and you are lifted above the experience or the claims that something bad could happen here, or that you're in the thick of an awful situation. You're freed from that.
Exactly. When you become conscious that God is present and operating, that good is in control, that consciousness, it literally erases the picture of something else. And I've loved that sense of it's not changing it. It's erasing the suggestion that there ever could be something else. So your consciousness then is conscious of what God is doing, mm-hmm. what God is causing in you and for you. So it's very much about what we accept, but fear tries to say you don't have a choice, that there's a cause for it.
Right.
And we have to see there is no cause but God, and it's good.
And boy, it sure is helpful to be in practice on this, isn't it? I mean, if you are constantly seeking that sense of God's presence, if you are maintaining that communication, that open channel with God, it becomes much easier to see yourself as completely free of anything that could possibly undo your happiness.
Absolutely. You know, that's why we call it a Christian Science practice. And many people I know of that I've talked with have said, well, that's hard. You know, that's an awful lot of work. And I've thought it isn't like that. It is, do you want to believe what's true and real and forever? Or do you want to be caught up in a human circumstance that is not forever and does not lead to anything good? It's thinking truth. Don't we want to just think what's true and what's real? And that's what God is giving us. So it's not onerous, it's joyous to know what God is because it's good.
That was beautifully said. You said something earlier, and you've been really generous with your time here, but I think it's worth noting. And you were talking about turning to Mary Baker Eddy's definition of God from the glossary. And it is such a profound thing. And I know I've turned to it on many occasions and found healing. But what she writes on page 587 is, God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And I've read that on many occasions and thought of how important those words are, all-knowing, all-seeing. There's no space for anything unlike God. And sometimes that's given me the clarity to know that whatever it is that the physical senses are claiming, or whatever that sneaky sense of something perhaps going upside down might be, that there's nothing outside that all presence of God, and I can find myself there.
That's right. It's God's will for good. Jesus trusted it. We all can trust it. He's our way shower. He understood that that love, that divine goodness is forever present because it is everywhere. I love to think of it as not only everywhere, but through all time, through all space. Right? There's no way that you can logically or rationally assume that something bad can enter infinite good. And so we have to become very aware that this is a living presence that is that good, a divine intelligence that is that good. It's not just, you know, a human concoction of something we wish were good. It is the power of our lives.
Suzanne Rydell is a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from the Austin, Texas area. Suzanne, it's been a real joy to get to speak to you on Sentinel Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, David.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond, with support from Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. Talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.